sitting there?
Am I sitting there?
Do you see me there?
No.
I don't see me there. Do you want me to go sit there?
We didn't read all of 40, did we? Somebody needs to be sitting in that, looking that direction.
That's why I'm kind of holding over this little.
That's why I asked. Are you sitting there? But she wasn't.
I don't know.
So pretend's gonna have to be acued to move if you signal.
You just gotta keep an eye on him for me, cause I won't get there fast enough, but the chair should stop.
If you can jump up. Okay, that's what all this is gonna mean.
Yeah.
Okay, are we on?
Yes, we are.
37-40.
37-40. Practice not planning your life. Assuming you understand that ensuing moments and events replace prior moments and events, then you understand that neither moments or events are sequential. Yet you plan your life sequentially according to language alternatives. This is why life seldom turns out according to your plans. You and life are not on the same track. So why plan? Instead, create options. Give yourself options, which are far more expansive and freeing than alternatives. Be careful not to create or plan options in an order of desirability or leading to a consequence. That's planning alternatives again. And in that, if you are not following plan A, your life is less than desirable. Options should always be other, or to take the place of never, quote, better or lesser, end of quote. And do not consider options as preferred or not preferred, but acceptable. Options as, quote, other, always gives you freedom.
Got it.
With options, there are never optimal moments or conditions, never any failures or losses, never any disappointments. For every option is sufficient and complete in its own right, and it is easily and comfortably replaced by another option. Options have no goals, conclusions, or endings, for those destroy options.
Can you guys see how handy this kind of stuff will be for when you have groups?
Oh, yeah.
You can take just one of these a week with a group.
Some of these you couldn't get through in one sitting.
Absolutely not. But getting them to practice it and doing it all the time would be so valuable. So very valuable. We don't have the time to do any of that here.
Mm-hmm.
But it would be really valuable. And so I have no idea why you're humming, so stop it.
The dog?
No, the equipment.
The equipment.
Oh.
As long as it doesn't start smoking.
So yeah. Will this eventually be published in book form that others can purchase?
I'm going to move this. I think so.
Okay.
At least they'll be available for those of us that are teaching groups and things like that to have available to the students. But
well, Roger, I asked Roger about how freely I can share this. And he, in terms of my teaching and showing, he says, show it to whoever you want.
To whomever you want.
That too.
That's been coming up, a lot today.
I used to say that at the front of each of the gathering books. It would say,
I did. We did.
I didn't look, but it says...
And we said that on the old website, that was one of the first things you'd see, you know, share it with whomever. But he just didn't want it to, he doesn't want it to go out, how do I put this, within about 6 months of the gathering, so that people aren't not coming to the gathering and then just getting all the materials and not having done it.
Yeah, I certainly am not making copies of this available to our group, but I can print out pages here and say, this is what we use tonight.
Yeah, right on.
So that's the whole thing, is he just wants people to show up for the gathering instead of just absconding with the material, as others have done in the past, and not being really part of it. So, okay. End of station break.
37-41. Practice telling your senses what to sense.
Isn't that a doing? Doesn't that have some limitation?
Of course, but you're still just training yourself.
It's a declaration.
Why wouldn't you say practice telling your senses?
Because what we're trying to do is to stop you from living reactively.
Okay.
We're trying to be able to say, I'm in charge of this.
Oh, well, I see that's the next.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. That's what we're about.
Stop living reactively. Trying to make sense of what you sense. Instead, begin telling your senses what to sense and live accordingly at every moment. This is your true self and life to be and live as you truly desire. Actually, the randomness of all events enables you to do this quite easily. But believing in oneness and in an intentional God or power, you react endlessly to the world around you and ignore being and living as you truly desire by your own authority. Instead of living life as you desire, let life live you. In fact, you also let your body live you. Does it seem wise and enriching and fulfilling to continue in these ways? How would your eternal self live? They live life out of you.
They. So wouldn't that be your eternal selves?
That's a good question. I was wondering. So instead of living life as you desire, you let life live you. In fact, you also let your body live you. Does it seem wise and enriching and fulfilling to continue in these ways? How would your eternal self live? They, I assume it means your body and life, live life out of you. That's my take on it.
Okay.
If you agree, if you don't agree, let me know. But I understand the question because of the placement of that interjection.
37-42. Practice falling asleep.
I'm really good at that.
I'm well trained, too.
When you fall asleep each night
or afternoon,
let the limited layers of sensing and minding dissolve into the essential and expansive nature and world of your abiding self of mind and dreams, out of which a new awakened sense of self and life arises. In other words, consciously step outside of your normal awareness into a world and self of expansive, eternal awareness. Practice going to sleep each night in this state of eternal awareness, so you can step into this self and world at any moment, not just during sleep.
Hey, Misty, I've got something that occurs when I'm sliding into that place. I'm suddenly surrounded by a whole pile of people who walk up to me and through me. They're like, I come up and I can see their faces, I can see into their mouths and up their nostrils, and then they walk right through me from their point of view as if I'm not there. And I'm not scared of it or anything. It's kind of fascinating. I just wonder what it is.
Well, usually when they talk about some of those things like that, it's saying that what you're doing is seeing another layer of what is going on in exactly the same space.
Mm.
It's like they say that also about a lot of the UFOs and things like that that come in, and what they're actually from another space continuum, and they're not part of ours. And sometimes if you allow yourself, if you're cognizant enough as you go into those things, you can actually see it.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if I could hold myself there for a while.
You might be able to if you wanted to practice that, and then maybe you'd be able to start communicating with them, so, and get them to see you.
oh, there's an angel.
Told they probably me don't know anymore.
Told me to vote for her.
This just would be interesting to find out, are you living the same kind of existence that we're living?
Yeah.
Do things happen in the same time and space as we live? Because, like, I know when my sister died, and I had been asking in the Jacobin about her, and I asked, well, will I ever see her again? And they said, no, she's gone into what is, in your terms, a nursing facility where time is really slowed down so that they can grasp what's going on, because she's having such a hard time in this existence, in this life. And so she's going to some place where time and everything occurs much slower. So, and that might be right here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we can't see it.
Oh, yeah, right. I see. A different, yeah, speed.
A different, right. A different here, vibrational not, rate, yeah, or whatever, yeah, else it is that makes it be in the same space at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have to sit there for me and wonder, okay, is it all dark matter, or is it just another part of that light spectrum that we can't see? There's all sorts of parts of the light spectrum that we can't see.
Oh, yeah, most.
So, well, we only, as he said, we only see this little strip right at Spain, and the thing is rolled out 2,500 miles.
Or maybe it's a speed thing. I've read that slugs and snails only perceive every 2 seconds. So their time is very different. So 1 second we're there next to them, the next second we're not. And that, to me, leaves all kinds of rooms going, stuff going on in between those 2 seconds that they're completely unaware of because of their speed.
And so I don't know if that's the kind of space that she went into or not. I have no idea, but I know that it was other than the way we are living.
So they could be faster. Perhaps people could be a whole lot faster.
They could be.
Or slower.
They could be, or just slightly different.
Yeah.
Just enough different to stitch it over just a little bit.
The cheese and the food.
I turned it on for me so you can turn it this way. I was hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Can you get some like this?
Well, I'm sure I can.
You could take the other fan, bring the other fan.
No, it's fine. I feel it.
37-43. Discover the gaps. Examine yourself carefully in this situation, and you will discover there is a vital gap between an event occurring and your arising emotions or, quote, call to action, end of quote. In that moment, you are free to react thoughtlessly as you have always done in the past. Or realize the eternal self and inspiration you have chosen to live and call your life. With practice, you will discover you can expand that moment into an expansive moment, such that you have plenty of time to consider how you will be and live eternally, not how you will react in the moment.
And I've been finding that I've been doing this a lot in my current situation, relative mostly to him, about reaction and so on and so forth. Things that I would have reacted so violently to in the past, I just like stepping back, assessing, and
giving yourself that gap to be able to consider.
Actually giving myself that gap to regroup and just say, okay, this is okay, you know. This is how he is expressing or whatever else at the moment. Other times, when I'm tired, not so much.
No kidding.
Can't quite get it when I'm really tired.
Mm-hmm. 37-44.
Yeah, becomes a pattern.
Practice accurately visualizing, remembering, and recalling dream images. Every night, you have 4 or 5 dreams of your eternal self, yet when you awake, most of these images have faded, and you can't seem to recall them. Of what real value do you suppose it will be for you to experience your eternal self directly if you can't accurately remember and clearly recall that experience and gain from that experience? Do you believe it would be wise to commune with and dedicate yourself to an eternal self you can't really remember? Or to follow advice you can't actually recall? As you have a body, but you are not your body, you have a life, but you are not your life. And you are not on a journey of life either. There is no continuing you or your journey. For in the actual universe, both you and the journey are emergent as you go along. 38. Practicing as we have suggested is more than training your mind or sensing and feeling. It is to be very real and literal, or it isn't practice at all. Quote, fake it till you make it, end of quote, will not work for you. 39. In introducing you to these practices, we are inviting you to expand and extend your personal loner self and life today by awakening and calling forth your eternal self to communion with your personal self and life, so you can live and portray what has not been seen for a very long time. How would you like to portray your eternal abiding self? 40. Your reliance on light binds you. Your reliance on light blinds you and deceives you. For you are relying on reflections. Could it be that what is not lighted yet is clearly visible and available for yourself in life and world exists independent of lighted space-time? Is genuinely personal to you. And this personal space-time self and world is all around you, not within you. But you are too blinded by light even to see this, and too dependent on light to realize much about yourself and life beyond light experienced directly or perceived as a reflection of light. 41. At present, the composed and reflected self and life you know, as exposed and revealed in the light of experiences and memories, limits and lessens you. Actually, you are wasting away in the light and enlightenment of your blindness. Are you willing to see yourself fully and clearly and realize yourself and life more expansively and extensively in the light of darkness? In mind, imagination, and memory? 42. Why ever have you assumed that light reveals the truth and fullness of yourself and life, and a greater spiritual life will follow after death? Isn't it possible your life today is the greater life you have forsaken to light and language and to memories? And you are missing out today on all that was promised and is available. If this is truly your life of death, couldn't your life today be a, quote, life review, end of quote? And if this is actually your life of death, what life do you expect or hope for or look forward to? 43. Do you really believe that you will pay in some way for your faults and failures and sins, or even for your crimes and
misdemeanors.
Try to put the D first. And misdemeanors.
Just misdemeanors.
Misdemeanors. Or maybe you believe there are consequences for every action that you will be judged for. Actually, actions continue as other actions, leaving nothing to be judged or paid for. Of course, in this, there is nothing to be rewarded for either. So do not struggle to make amends with others. Amend your beliefs and ways. Better yet, completely transform yourself and ways. 44. If you believe in a life of consequences for a life of doing, do you really know whether your life today is your life of doing and misdoing, or your life of consequences? 45. Are you willing to undo the massive stranglehold that language, ancient beliefs, and memories have on yourself and life today? And memory yourself as you truly are. And in that, repersonalize yourself as the eternal, immortal being you are. And fully experience
and finally
experience and know yourself again as you truly are. And fully live your immortal self and life again. And wouldn't that lighten the load you are carrying in your body, emotions, and life today? 46. The universe has hardwired emotions in your brain. How does that affect how you feel about yourself and life? And before you get disturbed or feel lessened or overwhelmed by your emotional self and reactions, realize that though emotions are hardwired, the inducers of those emotions are not hardwired. Those inducers are yours to personalize as you desire. As such, events and experiences. And yourself and life today are not about emotions. They are about the inducers you choose to react to and how you react. Even as you react to matters you haven't experienced directly or have no memories of, there is a great deal of excitement and anticipation in anger, fear, and love. Yet these emotions can quickly change or lessen in your experiencing, (inducing) what you are angry about, fearful of, or in love with. From this, it appears that extraordinaries and intensity frequently exist more in mindful promise or anticipations of things and matters than in experiencing them. In this, it seems you deny being and living the self and life you truly desire, or keep that just out of reach as a way to heighten and extend your anticipation and excitement of being truly extraordinary. Do you understand how memories keep you feeling ordinary? Is it possible you feel that living your eternal self will not feel as extraordinary as you desire? Being your eternal abiding self is truly extraordinary. Maybe being alive has destroyed your intense and extraordinary feeling of being alive. Or is it that you are so fearful of your intense feelings that you compose matters and experience in your body and life to lessen your true emotions and possible reactions? Does the thought of eternal life actually distress you? Don't be too quick or certain to deny this. Do you really believe there is an end to life's promise? That you will meet and complete your dreams and desires and lose them? Are you so concerned that your exceptional self will be so ordinary that you are willing to die in anticipation rather than live the truth of yourself? Do you see in this what language and memories and emotions have done to you? You are truly extraordinary. You are a divine religion brought to life.
So my question here is, you guys getting anything out of reading this, or are you just falling asleep and just...
Well, I'm not falling asleep. Not me.
No, pondering.
Okay, because I don't want to be just boring you and just reading on.
No, we should just read it all.
Okay. It's, I think it's just
given,
this constant
input. We were given
input.
These before, right, in a set of 99...
Well, that's a good question. I don't remember that.
You know, beautiful things, or you know, those,
some of them, yeah.
Yeah, some of them. But,
99 matters that matters.
This
okay.
one is a little tricky, yeah. But.
Are you doing all right, Sharon, or you need somebody else to read?
I feel like I need to stand up if I'm going to continue reading, otherwise, but somebody else needs to read.
Who else would read?
Yeah, we can pass you off.
Mark will read.
Mark will read. Ooh, awesome.
I think you're going to have to come this way around the...
You can have missed this chair.
Just check the plug-in on that microphone. I think that's the interruption. Yeah, see? See, now it feels better. Mm-hmm. I need to dig out another mic cable.
That's it.
Only on 49.
50.
You are truly extraordinary. You are a divine religion brought to life. I have a question. Why did we stop from the different numbering system? Is that a 37 this, 37 that? Now we're just doing.
Those were subsets of 37,
subsets.
And we've moved since.
Those were exercises.
Okay. 50.
No matter what you may think or declare, your religion is not. Your religion is not what you profess or believe is spiritual and holy. Your religion is the self and life you are living. Nothing else matters. Remember, you can't just talk about your religion or your life. You must live it. 51. The self and life you are living today is your personal living religion. Actually, it is a religion of your mortal being, or your mortal personal self, and your eternal abiding self. It is the life and environment of your
vast self.
You are the living spirit, the divine being, the promised one, and the creative and sustaining force in and of your eternal abiding self and life. 52. Your personal living religion clearly reveals the visions you have of yourself and life, your desires and conflicts, both real and imaginary, and your expectations, both personal and eternal. And your living religion also reveals the promises you made and the joys and conflicts you're living in fulfilling those promises. 53. Religion is your relationship to what you consider divine, and the promises the divine seems to offer you. Your living religion is...
Can I stop you for a minute?
Sure.
So, your religion is your relationship to what you consider divine. Did I miss what divine is? What's divine?
Divine is what divine is to you. There is no set definition for divine.
It's not in the margins, comments?
It's not in the margins or comments because it is an individual thing.
But around that, what does divine mean? Like, it's
to us, that is...
Like, a meaning is an individual thing, but it is a significance.
I would say that it's the extraordinary, the super special, the stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Religion is your relationship to what you consider divine, and the promises the divine seems to offer you. That was number 53. 54. Your living religion is composed of the promises you made to yourself as an eternal being. As an eternal abiding being. Therefore, as a divine image and promise, if your loner self and life today is as you would willingly continue and actively live and life eternally, and continue just as you are. If not, it is time to contemplate and seriously consider regenerating yourself and life today. But remember, as a privileged being, you are a divine promise brought to life. 55. You don't have a religion. You are a divine religion brought to life through actions, not through words or faith or worship. 56. Religion and religious beliefs and actions which have strengthened people to act together for mutual survival were probably developed along with language, such that now you cannot separate the basic structure of language and the world, and even the structure of the universe from the structure of religion. 57.
What structure does have religion?
What is religion's structure?
Yes.
In the beginning, God created cause and effect from
the
there.
The structure of traditional religion?
So the language structure and the religious structure are married hand in glove, as I understand that.
Okay. Thank you.
57. From the evidence we have today, it is reasonable to see that your brain developed along the line of a DNA code that developed along the lines of continued beliefs and thoughts, whether or not realized. Therefore, your thoughts, language, religion, and of course your life are so tightly bound together as a Gordian knot in languaging and living your loner body and self. Believe it or not, no matter what you think, say, or do, you are offering and living religious beliefs of God and death, and portraying those concepts. And in this, everything you see or hear around you confirms or acts against the beliefs you have dedicated yourself and life to. And these are your sacred religious beliefs and images of yourself and life today, which is why you quickly take offense and so vigorously defend and continue your beliefs. 58. If you declare you are spiritual but not religious, or that you don't believe in religion, so it is of no concern of yours. This doesn't mean your beliefs are not religious, for religious relates to what you acknowledge as the essential and ultimate nature of you and of all reality, and that certainly does concern you, doesn't it? 59. Of course, you can use language to describe what you are saying and not depend on languaging to distort what you are saying. In this way, it is possible to use language without getting yourself and your sacred beliefs and self trapped in the distortions of languaging. 60. As your personal self was emergent of your beliefs and actions, your personal religion is emergent of those same beliefs and actions, such that the moral standards of religion are nothing compared to your standards of life. For even hostile or evil beliefs and behaviors can be your personal religion. 61. Religion draws individuals of like beliefs to band together for protection, cooperation, and companionships. Actually, all major religions, Hindu, Buddhism, Jewish, Christian, Islam, along with mystic beliefs and actions, share the basic concept of God as the creative force of all things, such that your life is about being faithful and living according to the will of God and to move towards oneness with their God. 62. Thousands of years ago, to those who didn't know otherwise, everything that was unknown was considered spiritual. And since the why of events was unknown, those events were considered the spiritual actions of God, gods. 63. It was Hippocrates who declared that people consider epilepsy divine simply because they do not understand it. He then added that if we declared everything we do not know to be divine, there would be an unending list of divine. It seems Hippocrates was right, for that is just what was done in creating God and spiritual matters, when in fact all things considered sacred and divine are actually physical or worldly matters yet to be known or properly understood, or even to be created. 64. Everything known is known and spoken of in a context, while that which is unknown, such as religion and spirit, has not been given a context within which it can be known and understood, and clearly spoken of. Maintaining unknown matters as divine or spiritual ensures they will never be understood, simply because divine and spiritual maintains an impenetrable wall of unrevealed secrecy around spirit and God, and without a meaningful awareness, nothing can be explained or understood. that is the religion and world you have aligned with and bet yourself and life on. 65. Will you continue forsaking yourself and life to spiritual unknowns and go no further in understanding yourself and life? Or will you move beyond the beliefs of God and religion to live a life of promise? 66. It is written that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was formless as a void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. This is the beginning of the Jewish and Christian story of creation, which continues. Then God created light, and divided... Must be that time of day.
He just woke up. He was taking a nap.
Stop the show moment. What the heck were you just reading?
Yeah.
Then God created light and divided the light from the darkness and called the light day and the darkness night. And this ended the first day of creation. On the second day, God created a firmament in the midst of the waters, divided the waters that were under the firmament from the waters above the firmament. And God called the firmament heaven. 68. On the third day, God created the earth, with grass and herbs and fruit trees. On the fourth day, God created the sun and heavenly bodies. On the fifth and sixth days, God created the creatures of the sea and the air, and those that creep and walk upon the earth. With the heavens and earth completed, God rested on the seventh day, and then a mist arose up and watered the ground and caused the plants and trees to grow. So God created Adam and Eve and placed them in a garden where the tree of life grew, beside the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But this is another story. If it were not for the first three chapters of Genesis, the Bible, and subsequent books, the Bible and subsequent books would have little or no significance today, simply because though these verses speak of the creation of the universe as it was thought to be at that time and depicts the beginning and misdeeds of mankind, this story actually creates God and seriously limits you to obeying and worshiping that God, which creates and portrays your judgments and conflicts in life today. And this is true regardless of the God you create, even if you don't realize your God by name. 71. All beliefs and concepts about the origin of the universe and world around you begin with the premise that God, or a spirit, or a master creator, or consciousness, created the universe and all the life, and all of life, and continues directing this creation even today. And most scientists believe much the same.
Oops.
Then, believers construct all sorts of stories and truths to prove their assumptions. And science does the same to justify its theories. And both science and religion have constructed elaborately complex evidence and testimony, both real and unreal, to prove and expand their truths. So, who are you to believe? 72. If God created the universe, it is quite right to ask, why did the God create the universe? What's the purpose of the universe and of my life in the universe? But no answer will come forth, or can come forth, such that the purpose remains unknown and meaningless. Yet, if the universe was a natural creation, not the work of a god or special force, then there is no reason why you or the universe exist today. And you, as a sentient being, are free to live yourself in life in the universe as you truly desire by your own authority. No questions or obligations are imposed upon you.
So, Misty, we're getting into something again that we've read before, yeah?
Quite similar to
it. Is this the full extent of it or just a short segment of it?
Short segment. It goes into all the different creation stories.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we read that.
Well, we can skip forward if you'd like. If you think it's
important. Well, it just goes through the same, well, I mean, the, whatever you guys want to
do. Decide where you want to pick it up.
The point was, yeah, that basically all these traditions have a beginning God that created, and that makes God powerful in your life.
And
we're going to end up missing some pages somewhere, so if these are the pages you want to miss.
Okay, number 73, while we're at it, has got a repeated line.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. See it?
It's actually exactly lined up. That's unusual that they're totally lined up like that.
Oh, yeah.
Almost. Oh, that's caught in my eye, was that they were lined up. They must be the same.
That's because it's unknown and unknowable.
Uh-oh, we're laughing.
Well, 173? That means something?
73 had one line repeated.
Oh.
Almost. The last words.
There. Yeah, wow, well, this is the same.
Okay, so let's go on to Servius.
All the way to page 373, it's the same.
Go to 376.
Okay.
The life of
Servius.
Servius. That's why I don't like this font. I can't quite tell what's going on.
You actually get used to it after.
Yeah, I know you get used to them, but it's like extra work. It's sort of like her
That's
having to translate.
That's what I'm thinking about. It isn't going to change anything.
This is what he intended, that you read.
Really?
Slow down.
Can't you go to that digital model and flip fonts for me and send me a copy that's not in old days text?
He does this on purpose. Quit complaining because that pisses him off.
No,
he does.
Really?
Maybe Roger likes to poke you with the font.
That's correct.
Servius.
16.
So if you don't want to read, then pass it on to somebody else.
The common belief among those seekers, finer, more enriching life, is that extraordinary gains and transformations are to be attained only through separation from ordinary affairs, through special or mysterious knowledge and teachings and practices, or through abstract mediations or ceremonies which carry to the secret corners of the universe. These individuals always believe they are to change, postpone, or forsake their customary activities until receiving a divine purpose, calling, or special charge from a master being, or until being carried to a higher plane to perform spiritual tasks. Were you to separate and withdraw yourself in these ways and wait, even should a long-desired master appear or change be given, you would be ill-equipped to meet or fulfill a grand purpose or change. What would you do then? 17. Emergent life reveals you truly are the ever-present master or mistress in your own life, that it is your privilege to choose and fulfill your own unusual emergent life purpose and your desired self and life, being a constant and reliable guide on this profound and insightful path of life. You will gain expansive rewards and surprising happiness.
You can't keep reading, or do you want to?
I can read a little longer. I'm not suffering.
Okay.
Number one, the following story is about a caretaker of a large library who wanted to live as an abiding being. When, as a small boy in Hebrew school, Servius heard about abiding beings. He declared he would live as an abiding being, but first he felt he had to change his Roman-sounding name to a good Hebrew name, such as Jedediah, who was beloved of Jehovah. Then he thought he might be able to be abiding, but at a very early age, Servius was indentured by his father to a large library to pay off his debts. From the very beginning, Servius felt it was deeply unfair that his father would indenture him to pay off his debts, and he constantly asked himself and God, why doesn't he pay his own debts? Why punish me and destroy my being an abiding being?
Sorry, can I ask a question? So, Misty, what is this? It's an oddity to me that this thing about the name is up front. Is there something to that to be noted?
All it is saying is that a lot of times people think that just by doing something superficial, that will make you be more abiding. And that is not where you're going to find abiding.
Okay. Thanks.
What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Why should my life be destroyed because of his drunken brawls and ways that put him in debt? Servius certainly resented being indentured. Actually, he felt he had been abandoned. No, more than that.
Betrayed.
He felt he had been sold, and he had. So, how would you even live as an abiding being after having been sold and discarded? What Servius didn't know was that this is the emergent life library that he was indentured to. This is the emergent life library. Number two. Remember now, this was centuries ago, and those such indentures were common for the benefit of children from poor families. Servius went reluctantly to the library, and because he had sleeping quarters there, it certainly was as though he had been completely forsaken by God and his father, and by his father's household. Which was Servius's birthright, and turned over to this library for whatever life he could possibly find. It seemed to Servius that no one wanted him, and his father and his abiding life had been taken from him. Number three. Servius was distraught when he heard his father speaking of indenturing him, and he was intensely angry when it happened. Servius felt the same way when he had been abandoned by God and indentured to his physical body and life to find the best life he could on his own. It was as though his abiding self and life was quickly slipping away, and he could barely hang on. Oh, all was certainly lost or taken from him. Servius was determined to escape and run away, but for the present, he was willing to see what this new life had to offer him, because, well, he could run away tomorrow, and that eased his anger for a moment. In fact, he was so intrigued about living at the library that it sure was a good thing I was indentured,
Take off the so you. because there are so many wonderful things here to see and realize.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got it worked out.
So take off so you.
Just take off so you.
In fact, he was so intrigued about living at the library that it sure was a good thing I was indentured, because there are so many wonderful things here to see and realize that if I'd
started much later. Started much later.
Much later, I'd never get to experience all of this. Everybody got those changes?
Yeah.
Number 6. Servius never got to see or realize everything because it was a large library and light, but just the thought of what was there to experience and understand was a thrill, and just thinking about that was an exciting adventure and a wonderful challenge. Number 7.
Can we?
Yeah,
that's okay. We should go back.
Number 7. Sometimes Servius would go searching where the ancient scrolls and manuscripts were stored and just pick out one because he was attracted to it. Or, well, somehow it was attracted to him, or seemed to call to him, because there was a great message in it for him. In fact, every day, in his body and in the library, Servius felt there was a tremendous find or finding he would have for himself. And as he grew older, as the years went by, Servius began developing different ways they could be identified and stored that would be less damaging, and he created better ways to preserve and restore. There you go. Preserve and restore them, and to keep them from getting lost. Servius needed to index them, but in order to index them, he had to read every scroll and codex. Number 8.
Oh, hang on. So, Miss, you know, Roger was saying these were stories not to just blow off, to tell about, you know. So I was just to talk about, to understand these things. So I was thinking, like, so this started off with, you know, Servius being indentured. Mm-hmm. So
are
like, what
indentured
are we,
to life?
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking like indentured to your eternal self or your loner body, and do you feel abandoned by God, your eternal self? So this is talking about you, not, yeah, okay, and relative to your eternal self and the life you're living as a loner being.
And then as the story goes on, it shows you how you live your eternal being.
It shows you how you live your eternal being?
At least how he did.
Okay, and so what happened when in the library then, he decides, okay, this is interesting and neat. Is that like coming to life and deciding there's things for you here after
it's
all
like
or something?
It's like saying to you, in any situation in which you find yourself, you can live your abiding. Whether you feel that you're indentured or servant or whatever,
okay.
If you'll just get your mind out of that and start realizing all that is around you,
yeah.
You create your reality. He brought himself there. And that's the thing that people don't realize. You've brought yourself to wherever you find yourself. He's not a victim.
Yeah.
He brought himself there.
Okay.
And you will find out that was the best gift.
Okay.
Anything can be converted into a gift if you have can construct an attitude to make it that.
And even more than that.
Learn from.
If you live your eternal being wherever you are, then attitude really doesn't have anything to do with it. Because you are just so you and so doing you that you're absolutely, you know, in a joyous state, in a way, to say that, at all times.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I got it. I see now. His abiding life was slipping away, barely hanging on, losing touch with what he thought was what he wanted. Okay.
God.
Key word.
Can't worry about
it. We're on to 8 now?
Yep.
While it might have been more convenient to have half a dozen helpers, Servius felt that any true guide to the library had to be produced by one person, consistent with one way of realizing and understanding, and one way of knowing. In all of this, he began reading the manuscripts and doing things no one else wanted or knew how to do. Number 9. Servius began searching for information in various manuscripts, for gems of information, or gems of gems. And his search truly excited him, such that he carried on a greater, more expansive search in the library for profound awareness in such a way that when he found one improved, one important idea or piece of information, then he set out to find a matching or similar idea or understanding to add to and sometimes complete the first manuscript. Or maybe it was just continued, or maybe it just continued the first writing. Number 10. That will certainly be simple enough, he said, holding an important manuscript in mind. I'll look for a matching scroll that looks like this one. But matching scrolls had frequently been covered and sealed in different ways, such that even continuing scrolls frequently looked different. But that was actually the joy and excitement of the search and the pleasure in finding what he truly desired, actually.
Those are options.
Servius only had a possibility he might find the matching scroll. Number 11. What he was doing in all of this was taking the beliefs and information from the first manuscript and applying and expanding that as he kept realizing and realizing and realizing the understandings of the other manuscripts. And in this, Servius understood the original actions and ideas in entirely different ways than even the writer intended. Servius was beginning to see how all things in life may be interconnected or joined and expanded by each person, even though one idea was quite different from the others. Offered an entirely different belief, Servius loved making these connections. He loved seeing these connections. It was as though a little light led him from manuscript to manuscript, as truly it did. Number 12. Servius realized that as he followed the light from one manuscript to another and the next, his perceptions, experiences, and realizations of what was said in the original teaching grew and grew and grew. Yet the original writing didn't actually change at all. Only he had changed and expanded, and his realization of all of life expanded as well. It was as though he freed his mind to guide him through the library, throughout the library, and throughout life. 13. As Servius connected different writings, he was growing a different and greater understanding of himself and the universe than had ever been assembled and taught before. 14. Servius realized that as the light of his life had led him from one scroll to the next, the light of his life was also guiding him from one moment to the next. 15. There was a personal illumination and resplendentness about Servius in following and being guided by these patterns of light leading from one idea to the next. And he not only sustained himself in not knowing a purpose or result from him, for him, he actually expanded himself and extended his awareness. 16. In one scroll, Servius read that the greatest, most expansively resplendent self and life is continuing, continuing, and continuing without really knowing or being concerned with any outcomes.
This is living and merging.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why Rod says we're not doing this.
17.
Because we're not doing this.
I think I hear coffee.
That's emergent too.
Does it say that
there? I'm sensing it somewhere in the background. 17. Though at times Servius did wonder about his life, and it did upset him that no one, not even God, answered his vital questions. What am I supposed to discover about myself and do? What does God want of me? What is life all about? What can I rely on? Without any answers, Servius decided, well, all right then, I'll just continue following these lights. And that he did. And as he continued in this way, in the joy and success, his body and life expanded tremendously, and he extended his awareness and realizations among the scrolls, manuscripts, and codexes. It was as though he had access to the wisdom of the universe, and as surely he did, and he discovered his ability to heal before symptoms appeared. And all of this was thrilling and great fun, and certainly inspiring and rewarding. 18. As Servius grew older, as the years flew by in the library, he couldn't even think of living anywhere other than in the library. That was his entire world. But there was one great flaw in his world. 19. The problem was that in searching through the jumble of stuff, Servius realized just how poorly or terribly his precious things were stored. You see, for he felt all these things in the library were his, not just his to care for, and he was saddened to see how they were kept. So he began developing different ways to store his things that would be less damaging, and he created better ways to preserve and maintain them and access them.
That must have something to do with how we memory things.
I was just thinking the library must be memory. Mm-hmm.
Or the data information of the universe that you can access. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I got you. Right.
But it becomes more accessible as you organize it in certain ways.
Yeah.
Right. And you also have to care for it to some extent.
Yeah.
And he realized they were his.
And he finds it through following his embryos.
Twenty. What Servius really wanted was to offer the things of his library to others, many others. But at least he felt it was vital to preserve his things, so they didn't get damaged or destroyed. And to keep them from getting lost, he needed to index everything and file them according to his index. But in order to index them, he had to read everything.
Oh, bummer.
For how could he possibly index what was on a scroll or hidden in a codex unless he read and understood every line?
As a quick aside, what's a codex?
I was just about to ask the same thing because I can't think of what the difference would be.
Like no, they had these.
It's a pile of papers.
It's a pile of paper that's stacked together but hooked. So
it's like an early book, but not
like
binding.
An accordion if you really opened it up.
Yeah, I've seen those in Bali. There's a village that makes those still. Flip back and
forth. In that last line, it's understood, not understand.
Last line.
Okay.
Of 19?
Yeah, just
for unless
edit.
He read 20. And understood every line. Got it.
Uh-huh. Good catch. 20.
4. Hmm? 21.
Oh, we did 20. Oh, yeah. 21. Though one scroll was quite unlike another, or offered extremely different beliefs. Where did I get extremely? Boy, it's amazing, huh? Were afforded entirely different beliefs and ideas. Servius loved seeing a possible connection. There was the light that followed his gaze around the library to point from one manuscript.
Mm-mm.
It's that smell. I can't read.
Misty, to point form one manuscript to another.
To what?
Sorry.
To point form one manuscript.
From?
Actually from.
Servius loved seeing a possible connection. There was the light that followed his gaze around the library to point
from
one manuscript to another and another. 22. Servius became aware of this interconnectability by seeing images. And while others thought he was losing his mind and senses, Servius would actually find a matching interconnected manuscript. There would certainly be a chain of light. He could see it. That was not his imagination. Servius was developing imaginative minding.
Mm-hmm, I was just going to say.
The direct perception of abiding beings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I get it now.
23. Much like Servius's dreams, seeing the light was in his mind. But unlike his dreams, others could also see his light at other times. 24. In this, after so many years of experience and practice, Servius was developing a DNA way of thinking and communicating directly. Though his years through, DNA. I always get those two words mixed up.
Hang on a second. A DNA way of thinking and connecting directly?
Okay, so he's regenerating his body.
Okay, I got you.
There's a lot of
through his years in the library, Servius had regenerated himself as an abiding being, just as he wanted for years. But he didn't feel different or extraordinary. He was merely living an extraordinary life.
Yep.
He was
merely
living an extraordinary,
nope.
An ordinary, an extraordinary ordinary, an ordinary self and life in unusual ways.
He just wants to have an extraordinary experience.
I got it. This is pretty extraordinary, but no, it's ordinary for him.
This is the secret of abiding,
he declared.
That is the secret of abiding, he declared enthusiastically. It's all so simple, yet so profound and difficult. Servius was elated. And we are telling you his story so that you understand that no matter what loner body self and life you have been indentured to, or why, you can, like Servius, who became known as Jedediah, recreate yourself as you truly desire being eternally. 25. What footprints will you leave behind? Will you leave mortal fruit footprints in the dust that will quickly fade and be forgotten? Or will you leave immortal footprints of an abiding being imprinted in the stone, showing others the way of everlasting life? Emergent life will guide you.
Okay, so this little chain of lights thing. So this connection to Jedediah again. Is Jedediah somewhere else in this book as Jedediah?
Yes.
Right, so this is the origin story of Jedediah, and then we can connect that to see what he says to kind of see where he went with all this.
You're going to see that amongst a bunch of these.
Oh, no kidding. All right, that's interesting. So that was interesting. This one really, this put a lot of things together for me.
This is one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, well.
And one I'm thinking about animating.
Oh, really? Well, I know whose story this is, so I got the beginning of that, but that is really interesting. Because this actually put it together really well for me. I mean, I'm just going to be honest here. You know, a lot of pages like Almadon and stuff, we're reading a lot of words and things, right? And it's getting in there. But this story, like you say, animated, put it all together. Because what I saw here was, what I could see myself doing with this stuff is helping each person realize that their life is creating their own religion. And they don't know where it will end up. It's an emergent process that you're not setting a goal to become, but as you do what you do, emergently you discover, I guess, yourself and life in a whole new way. And I guess, you know, that, if you want to ask what is divine, I can imagine there's a deep emotional or something, what do you call it there? It's very meaningful to people to have such a personal experience
well,
of life revealed to them.
That just like Jesus told parables, many times telling and giving information through a story is the best way of delivering information, and then expanding upon that once they kind of have an idea of that.
Yeah.
To be able to really take it home.
Yeah, see, it's interesting. As you put all these books in the Dropbox, this one grabbed me, the name Servius. Maybe just because I'm familiar from the Harry Potter stories, but I just thought there was something about Servius. This one, and it was.
Severus.
Oh, you're right. It's not the same.
Severus. Yeah, I was going to say Servius, but Servius in...
So I thought so. It's not Severus. You're right. Okay, then thanks.
I thought we had heard the story before, so I thought I knew the ending. Thought it was... And it kind of a sad ending because he did all of that, and at the end, he didn't see his abiding nest because he never gave it away. Somehow became selfish.
See, this is the first time I've typed this story, so we have never put this story out before. This is brand new.
The other thing that really grabbed me was the. I'll wait till they're done. The other thing that really grabbed me was the way he lived emergent. I got that. And part of that, it's just funny how life works. Part of that was when Simone was on Oahu, we took a hike, and I led them down a cliff. Ended up the path ran out. But what it was for me, regardless of what it was for them, was I didn't know what was going to happen next or how we get down there. But you go a little further, and then the next step appears. You go a little further, and the next step appears. And I just thought, that's what living emergent is like. You don't know how you're going to do what you do, but you keep doing, and it makes itself appear, or it appears.
Right, but you can't force it to appear.
Right, that's right, exactly. Anyway, great story. Got a lot out of that one. Glad y'all put that one in.
I'm just concerned that just the line there somehow gets back to me.
I like it when you decide to be honest with us. You know, that's really
about what?
You said, I've got to be honest.
Oh!
Yeah, I'm gonna do differently than I usually am.
I'd like to always.
I think I got that from Simon Cowell. You know, when his American Idol. If I'm being honest. If I'm being honest,
what have you been up to now?
You better watch what you have.
Oh, yeah. Cannibal.
Where are we gonna read the next?
Just I know what that was in reference to, Pat.
Dr. Woodbaker.
Yeah, and some of the.